Now, the other thing that appears in these readings, which you'll hear shortly, both of them refer in their own way to a tree. And I've got some pictures of trees to show you. I'm a bit of a lover of trees. I don't know if any of you like trees. I love lying on the grass in the summer and looking up through the leaves at the sky, or sitting on the bench in the autumn and just watching the colours. I'll just let you have a look first at my pictures of trees. Should we just go back through? Thank you. Okay, do you want to hold it on that one? I think what I like so much about trees is that they change throughout the year. And they really are a symbol of the season, aren't they? In the spring, you get the buds and the new leaves. In the summer, you get the fantastic crowns full of leaves and fruits as you come through to the autumn. And of course, in the winter, everything goes. Unless, of course, they're conifers like those evergreens, which we use for Christmas trees, don't we? The one thing I think this time of year is that leaves all gone off the trees give us an idea that the tree might in fact be dead. And trees can look very dead in the middle of the winter, just the branches against the sky. But in fact, they're full of life. And in that way, they represent hope, because we know that come spring, they will be full of life again. We'll get those buds and leaves and flowers. And I like to think that they are a symbol of strength in adversity, because you know that given the troubles of the winter weather, they will undoubtedly come through and symbolize a hope for the future. So if we go back to the very first one, don't know if that's yet, that one, summer one, full of leaves, lovely crown against the sky. The next one, took those fairly recently, and you just get those lovely trunks, that symbol of strength, I think, and autumn, all the leaves coming off. But you can see then what the tree's made of, can't you? And the next one, those, the lovely trunks in the winter, just with the light catching them in different ways. And that bareness, of course, is going to come to fruit fruition in the spring. And the next one is the conifers, which I think are fabulous, always green, of course, like the Christmas tree. And the next one is the fruit of the tree. So keep trees in mind and that changing sight of the trees during the year as we listen to the readings. So the first reading is from Jeremiah, and we'll listen to that, and then I've just got a short prayer, and then we'll hear the next reading. Okay, thanks.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 1 to 16. Jeremiah 33, 1 to 16. Another promise of hope. While I was still in prison in the courtyard, the Lord's message came to me again. The Lord who made the earth, who formed it and set it in place, spoke to me. He whose name is the Lord said, "Call to me, and I will answer you. I will tell you wonderful and marvelous things that you know nothing about. I, the Lord, the God of Israel, say that the houses of Jerusalem and the royal palace of Judah will be torn down as a result of the siege and the attack. Some will fight against the Babylonians, who will fill the houses with the corpses of those whom I'm going to strike down in my anger and fury. I have turned away from this city because of the evil things that its people have done. But I will heal this land and its people and restore them to health. I will show them abundant peace and security. I will make Judah and Israel prosperous, and I will rebuild them as they were before. I will purify them from the sins that they have committed against me, and I will forgive their sins and their rebellion. Jerusalem will be a source of joy, honor, and pride to me. And every nation in the world will fear and tremble when they hear about the good things that I do for the people of Jerusalem and about the prosperity that I bring to the city. The Lord said, people are saying that this place is like a desert, that it has no people or animals living in it. And they are right. The towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem are empty. No people or animals live there. But in these places, you will hear again the shouts of gladness and joy and the happy sounds of wedding feasts. You will hear people sing as they bring thanks offering to my temple. They will say, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, because he is good and his love is eternal. I will make this land as prosperous as it was before. I, the Lord, have spoken. The Lord Almighty said, in this land that is like a desert and where no people or animal live, there will once again be pastures where shepherds can take their sheep. In the towns of the hill country, in the foothills and the southern Judah, in the territory of Benjamin, in the villages around Jerusalem, and in the towns of Judah, shepherds will once again count their sheep. I, the Lord, have spoken. The Lord said, the time is coming when I will fulfill the promise that I made to the people of Israel and Judah. At that time, I will choose as king a righteous descendant of David. That king will do what is right and just throughout the land. The people of Judah and of Jerusalem will be rescued and will live in safety. The city will be called the Lord our Salvation. The New Testament reading is taken from the book Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 21, verses 20 to 36. Luke 21, 20 to 36. Jesus speaks of the destruction of Jerusalem. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you will know that it will soon be destroyed. Then those who are in Judea must run away to the hills. Those who are in the city must leave. And those who are out in the country must not go into the city. For those will be the days of punishment to make all that the scriptures say come true. How terrible it will be in those days for women who are pregnant and for mothers with little babies. Terrible distress will come upon this land. The law and God's punishment will fall on these people. Some will be killed by the sword, and others will be taken as prisoners to all countries. And the heathen will tremble over Jerusalem until their time is up, the coming of the Son of Man. There will be strange things happening to the sun, the moon, and the stars. On earth, whole country will be in despair, afraid of the roar of the sea and the raging tides. People will faint from fear as they wait for what is coming over the whole earth, for the powers in space will be driven from their courses. Then the Son of Man will appear, coming in the cloud with great power and glory. When these things begin to happen, stand up and raise your heads, because your salvation is near. The lesson of the fig tree. Then Jesus told them this parable. Think of the fig tree and all the other trees. When you see their leaves beginning to appear, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, you will know that the kingdom of God is about to come. Remember that all these things will take place before the people now living have all died. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The need to watch. Be on your guard. Don't let yourselves become occupied with too much feasting and drinking and with the worries of this life, or that day may suddenly catch you like a trap. For it will come upon all people everywhere on earth. Be on the alert and pray always that you will have the strength to go safely through all these things that will happen and to stand before the Son of Man. Amen.
Thank you. They were quite long readings, those, but I wanted you to get the flavour of Jerusalem in so much trouble, but that feeling of hope that was still there. So we have some thoughts on those readings. Could we have the slide with the verse on? Yeah, next one. Yeah, thanks very much. So we heard about Jerusalem in turmoil, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, two different experiences. And it's quite common for Jerusalem to be in turmoil, isn't it? It's also a present-day experience. Well, Jeremiah in the Old Testament was in prison for warning that the city would fall to the Babylonians. And it did, but there was hope. Jeremiah prophesied a day when gladness and joy would again abound, and a new king would be chosen, a righteous descendant of David. And in the translation we heard from, you actually miss the connection to the tree. But in other translations, you get the tree connection, because it explains that Jeremiah said it would be like a new branch, a new shoot. And that new branch would connect people in the new kingdom with that of the old kingdom. Hope. Well, we heard too that Jesus warned of a time when Jerusalem would again be surrounded by armies, this time Roman armies. Think of the fig tree, he said, and all the other trees. You can see what season is coming up by the look of the trees, whether they have leaves or buds, or flowers, they are signposts. And so are troubled times, with strange things happening. And you'll notice there that Luke, like many other biblical writers, add visual images to their accounts. But there is hope, and Luke puts his hope in the Son of Man. Hope. And the most important message, I think, in that passage is this one. And that one says, that's a different translation, by standing firm you will gain life. But I think in our translation it says, be on the alert and pray. So it's all a case of standing strong, standing firm, like a tree. You might have noticed on the news, if you dare watch it recently, there has been an awful lot of talk about Brexit. And yet some people are saying, well, that is important to the church as well. Can we see in the arguments over Brexit the coming of the kingdom of God? Can we see any signs that show it is breaking through? It might be difficult, but it's our job to pray for a good outcome to Brexit, one that will give hope, and that one that will be just and attentive to those who might otherwise struggle. And maybe as our country goes through a troublesome time, we can give hope. As Christians, we can be beacons of hope. Just think back to struggles around the world. And those individuals who did stand firm and offer hope. Some of them famous, of course. And a couple of names I have are Nelson Mandela and Mahatma Gandhi. Many were not famous, many unknown, but contributors nonetheless. We don't have to be important people to be a beacon of hope. And I wonder if there is a situation this Advent where you can offer hope. Just by quietly standing firm, or even speaking out, being a voice. We cannot know when hope will actually come to fruition. God acts in his own time, Kairos time. But we can be instrumental in offering hope. This first Sunday in Advent, we look forward to a time of waiting in hope for Christ, the Son of Man, the light of the world. And for many, a light in the darkness epitomizes hope. And I'd like you to look at this light in the darkness on our next picture. Thank you. And just looking at that, I don't think it will be possible to see what it is. But I'm going to read to you a description of it. It is a disused, obsolete communications tower in a rundown area of central Johannesburg. Thousands of empty plastic bottles collected from the streets. Who would have imagined this thing of profound beauty that they have become? It seems as unlikely to happen as for a king to be born in a stable. It's actually a project called the Ithemba Project, and it's the result of an encounter between an artist and a garbage recycler, or rubbish recycler, we might call him here. The rubbish recycler is Isaac, and he collects empty plastic bottles for a living. And the artist invited him to collaborate in the creation of an art installation. I want Thomas to be able to give a new connotation to the junk he collects and to the life it represents, and for him to be proud of it, said the artist. And so inside these plastic bottles are LED lights transformed into a tower or a beacon at night. And these bottles contain something more as well as the LED lights. They contain the hopes and dreams of hundreds and hundreds of people in the form of words written on slips of paper, rolled up and placed inside the bottles. Faith expressed in prayers, evidence of hope. Individual beacons of light and hope can add up to become a powerful beacon. And that's one reason Christians come together in churches to strengthen each other and to create a powerful beacon of hope. I've just got one more picture to show you, which is completely different. This is a mosaic in a church in Rome, and it's called the Light of the World. As trees overwinter and bud in the spring, and the darkness of winter lets in the sunlight of spring, can we keep alert through the dark times and offer hope to others, those that are looking for the light, the light of the world.